to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. Welcome into the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Wednesday, September 28th, Jason Moore, Mike the Fantasy Hitman, right?
Whoa. I was a little late on my what up, so I cut Andy off.
It was very deep and aggressive, too.
What up?
Yeah, you're not even wearing a backwards hat for that what up.
Yeah, it's part of who I am now.
What B got in your bonnet? I don't know. That's a thing that people used to say in like the 1800s.
Oh, great. Yeah. Let's bring it back.
Bring back bonnets.
Right. That's the first step.
Good example, like used in a sentence, would be like, in the midst of our Sunday matchup against one another, Jason had a bee in his bonnet.
You're talking about the DraftKings lineup where you lost and you get shamed on Friday?
Wow. We've reached different stages of grief.
Yeah. What is a bonnet?
I was just going to say.
All I see in my head is a chef's hat.
Didn't Little Bo Peep have a bonnet on?
Well, she had a sheep.
Yeah.
She did have a bonnet.
Thanks, Mike.
What's a bonnet? Is it a hat?
No, it's like a it's a soft hat with like
a chin strap.
It's a soft hat, Mike.
No, it's not like a traditional hat. It's a bonnet.
Oh, okay. It's the one that has the shield.
Yeah, but it also goes down. Doesn't it come down and strap under your chin or no?
Yeah.
Softly?
So it's like a big-billed hat?
Yeah, big-billed hat with a chin strap.
So
there it is.
A big-billed hat, I can now see if you had a bee in one, it would be upsetting.
That would be a problem.
Oh, yeah, because it could get loose in the back because there's some space.
Like if I had a bee in my hat, it would be a bad time.
Yeah, would it do much to you? I guess it would sting you.
Well, I mean, it probably would not sting me, but the fear and terror.
Yeah.
Once I realized there was a bee up there,
Surrounding your bulbous.
I mean, there's a lot of surface area for it to sting. I mean, everything would be ripped off, and I would just be screaming naked through the street.
This is a fantasy football podcast. Welcome in. We have Ride or Die on the show today. News and notes to talk about. Some quarterbacks in question, trending or ending on the show, and some mailbags. So it's going to be a fun one, assuming we don't stay on the bonnet topic.
I'm looking into it.
But, Mike, yeah, look, maybe we get the bonnet into the Wheel of Shame rotation.
Oh, there you go.
Maybe we should figure that out with the bee.
We actually, after having with the bee, after having looked up the bonnet, the first thing I realize is that we have actually had that on the Wheel of Shame before.
The bonnet?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A baby. The baby bonnet?
Yeah, the baby bonnet.
Oh,
yeah.
The babies still do the bonnets. Maybe not. All right. FootClanGiveaway.com giving away some signed sports memorabilia. What am I talking about? Jalen Waddle, Jalen Hurts, DJ Moore, jerseys, autographed, authentic memorabilia, and then a virtual studio tour. You can check that out. We're also live today, this afternoon,
baby,
on Spotify. So every Wednesday, the party room. Back in action, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, completely free. Just go grab the Spotify app.
Or the Spotify Live app.
Or the Spotify Live app if you want to participate. And just tune in, 6 p.m. Eastern, to the show.
Ride or Die, presented by Chevrolet.
Ride or Die, presented by Chevy. Last week, I actually managed to win one of these. So 2 out of 3. You guys each got 1 out of 3. I think the reason we got stuck on the bonnet, now that I think about it, is because...
It's an interesting topic.
Well, and Brooks isn't here today.
Yeah.
So the judge isn't here. So when I glance to my left to Deucer's Alley, I see I see a reflection off the sculpt.
You saw the sculpt.
Scalp of Papa Josh.
You saw a head that desperately needs a bonnet.
It would be better with a bonnet.
Cover it up.
The Borgogan's here. And then there's, you know, like our head producer for the day is Al Borland. And so I was probably in a Spitballers mood is all I'm saying. It's like the Spitballers podcast. We might talk about, if you want to hear Bonnet talk for like 40, 50 minutes.
Which I know a lot of you do.
That's Spitballers. But we get serious here.
Also, all jokes aside, this coming Monday.
Oh, brother.
You're going to want to listen to that Spitballers episode. It's a big one.
Yeah. What do you think? You agree with that, Al?
It's great.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All right. Ride or Die last week. Christian Kirk, 12 fantasy points. Mike
we stuck
with Christian Kirk and won that one. Jason and I went against Brady and Rodgers. We got that. And then Miles Sanders, 70 or more rushing yards.
I can't believe he didn't hit it.
I can.
Well.
Because I said die. But here we go. For this week, week four ride or die predictions. Kirk Cousins against New Orleans in London. Is he a top 12 quarterback so far this year? QB 12, QB 25. That was a primetime game. Mm-hmm. And QB 10.
Uh-oh.
So I am going to die right off the bat.
If these trends continue.
It's not even the trend. It's just that the London game in Kirk's mind may be mistaken for a special event. And I think anything primetime, island games, anywhere where Kirk is being watched by more people than he's comfortable with, the defense is pretty good in New Orleans. I'm going to go die.
I'm coming along for that not ride because I am going to
You're dying shotgun?
Yes, I'm dying shotgun. This week there are a lot of other quarterbacks I don't necessarily love for fantasy because they've been inconsistent, like Russell Wilson. Yikes.
Russell?
But he's got a really good matchup, and I could see him sneaking in. You know, Brady hasn't been the best, but he gets Mike Evans back. He's against Kansas City. Could be a high over-under. Even Jared Goff is, you know, at home against Seattle. So I think there's a lot of other quarterbacks that could push him down. So I will select die.
I'm going to ride with Kirk Cousins. The bounce back for Justin Jefferson, I would imagine it will be real this week. You don't have an elite superstar wide receiver have the worst game of his professional career and then not do something about it.
I think that's fair. Kind of impressive that Kirk was QB 10 without Jefferson essentially last week. Jamal Williams, ride or die as a top 10 running back without DeAndre Swift this week. He was the running back 2 last week, went 20 for 87 and 2 touchdowns, 2 targets. Takes on Seattle. The matchup's great. I'm going to let you guys go first.
So the Detroit Lions have the second highest implied team total of the week. They're over under, at least what I'm seeing right now, is sitting at 49.5, they're favored by 4.5, putting them at 27 points. They should handle the game script against the Seahawks. I mean, the Seahawks, they're wily. You know, they got some fight in them. This comes down to touchdowns. Can Jay Willie have another dose on the ground?
I don't think he needs to, but he does have. He leads the NFL right now in carries inside the 10. So when they get in there, it's time for Jay Willie, home favorites.
I'm going against it though. I'm going die.
I was hoping I could talk you into it because I was going die.
I love him. I think that he's a great play, but top 10's a real high line. Where do we want
to
move it?
Let's move it to top 16.
I will ride,
Mike.
I will ride.
Crap.
Top 14.
All right. So top 14. What are you guys doing?
Wait a minute. Why did we move it?
Because we were all
I was gonna ride too.
Oh, all right.
Just set the line where you die.
Okay. I will 15.
Okay. I will ride.
Okay. Top 15.
Me and Jay riding together.
All right.
Okay. Thelma and Louise.
Ride.
With Jay Willie.
There you go. And then
as the captain.
Let's go with Rashad Bateman against Buffalo. Will he have at least 10 fantasy points in a half PPR? 12.9, 18.8, 4.9 the last 3 weeks.
I believe this is, does Rashad Bateman score a touchdown?
Maybe.
I don't think it has to be score a touchdown, but with the injuries to the secondary in Buffalo, the total in this matchup, I think Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen are going to go back and forth. I will buy this. I think you could get to 10 without a touchdown, but, you know. The easiest path will be a touchdown.
I'm riding shotgun.
All right. I will go. I'm going to go with die then. So you're really into 10 fantasy points, catching 2, 4, and 2 receptions? Yeah, a week.
It is a risk.
It is a risk. His route participation has not been where you want it. He's not up in the 90s. He's in the 70s. But his actual value per target is great. He is down the field, big play guy, and this matchup is wonderful. So I am going to stick with my man, Rashad Bateman.
That was Ride or Die presented by Chevy Silverado. Learn more about Chevy Silverado at Chevy.com.
News and notes from around the league. Presented by USAA Insurance.
Well, we need to talk about some quarterback situations. Tua Tagovailoa. Questionable for week four against the Bengals. Looking at this situation earlier this morning with what we know, I think he will play. He was listed as limited yesterday. Mike McDaniel is equivocating. I think maybe some gamesmanship. I don't think it's a guarantee he's out there, but I believe he will play against the Bengals on Thursday night.
Yeah, it seems like if it's even possible, he's going to. So it would have to be a significant, serious back injury that means he absolutely can't go. He's a gamer. I expect him to play, but, and we'll talk about this game a little bit, you know, in a little bit on this episode, breaking it down more. It's been a weird week for the Dolphins, so we'll see how that turns out tomorrow night.
Do you agree that you think he'll be out there?
I think so.
All right. Head coach Robert Saleh announced that quarterback Zach Wilson has been medically cleared and will start Sunday if there are no setbacks.
Yay.
Number two.
Yay.
That's his number.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, just not totally a coincidence.
there was a void.
Number two.
There was a void on the Jets for a number two?
Yeah, there was a number two void. And
Zach Wilson, please be good.
Here's the thing.
Please.
We liked the passing volume of Joe Flacco. There wasn't really other things to like about that experience over 3 weeks. So the question to me is not so much do I believe Zach Wilson is good or not, because I don't believe Joe Flacco is good. Let me just be clear. Joe Flacco was good for the receivers because he threw the ball so often.
And catchable.
And, well, sure.
According to Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, but not catchable enough to win or score a lot of points.
I don't care.
So all I'm saying is that the question to me is, do I believe Zach Wilson would throw the ball as much as Joe Flacco? And I pretty much think the answer to that is yes. I think they will have to. I think they will let him. I think he's going to get outside the pocket, something Joe Flacco cannot do whatsoever. And you have players, Elijah Moore, Garrett Wilson, who, you know, their speed is going to put them in a position where plays that are extended put them, you know, they're going to be open. So I think it's going to be 80-90% of the passing volume of Joe Flacco.
Well, and the 80-90% of the overall number might even be good for the wide receivers, because I would imagine that the target share to the running backs goes down significantly, going from Joe Flacco, who's a statue in the pocket and has his little check down machine. You know, we've seen 10 plus targets in multiple weeks to Breece Hall or Michael Carter. So, it's one of those, I can't find someone, dump it off. Whereas Zach Wilson, whether he should or shouldn't, will probably hold on to the ball a little longer, can evade pressure, roll out, and will be looking more towards, or at least I would anticipate he would be looking more towards the wide receivers and even the tight end than he would be the dump offs to the running back.
All right, let's look here. Michael Gallup will get a bunch of work on practice, is close to making his debut. We're not going to bet on Michael Gallup's return, and you're not going to put him in your lineup until we see him return and have value. Those things may come conjoined with Dak Prescott's return in week 5 or 6.
But still worth stashing at this point.
Brian Daboll said Kadarius Toney and Wandale Robinson are getting closer to game action.
That is great. Kadarius Toney has never been able to play football in the NFL. I mean, his slew of injuries is outlandish. It goes from head to toe, and it's every game. And whenever he hasn't been on the injury report, he ends up getting injured in those games. But he is a must stash.
There's
he is so important to this offense without Sterling Shepard. We've seen him on when he's on the field, when he's got the ball in his hands. he's electric. So, you know, maybe that's the problem. Okay. Maybe that's why he's getting injured.
Woo.
Playing around a little too
much. Yeah, thank you.
Look, I don't necessarily think he's important to the offense. I'm afraid.
The lights are still going.
The lights are freaking out over here. We're in the dark. That was great. Here's what I think. I think the team won't have them back this week. I think if you're in DFS or desperation zone, Richie James will get a ton of work. There seems to be a meritocracy situation going on with the wide receiver room. And so Tony is the most explosive. He's probably the only one with any ceiling, any real fantasy value other than him and Wandale probably. But I don't know if he gets the opportunity this year. I don't know if the way that they're playing, the way that he's coaching, they like David Sills.
Why?
I know. And Kenny Golladay, the frustration, he's going to have opportunities too. Wandale's probably the only one that I'm like. I tried to get him yesterday.
Did you?
I tried to pick him up just on the – well, my team, it tried to collect all the rookie wide receivers.
Ah, yes.
So it was important for my collection.
Missing that badge.
No, I'm trying to
get the completion. Yeah.
While we disagree on Kadarius Toney, I agree with you on Wandale Robinson. Those are the two guys to me that I would if you want to take a shot at – having some kind of good fantasy relevant player going forward. It's one of those two. It's not going to be Kenny Golladay, no matter the opportunity. It will never be Sills, no matter the opportunity. And it won't be Richie James. I mean, not that they won't have one game with, you know, 7 for 74 and maybe a touchdown, but they just don't have the talent to get it done. Whereas Wandale and Kadarius both, if they are on the field, not only are they talented, but they're necessary.
I think that Richie James will have a week this week against Chicago.
Possible.
London game. Jameis Winston was not at practice today. Dennis Allen says he thinks he will practice tomorrow. We saw Taysom Hill getting some QB reps at practice behind Andy Dalton. And Michael Thomas not seen at practice with the toe injury. Something to monitor because, you know, Landry might make it back.
Man.
It's not certain that Thomas will make it back. And then, oh, boy.
If Michael Thomas misses a game already,
I know.
After missing essentially 2 years,
that's brutal. Olave.
Oh, okay, okay.
Andy Dalton can get the ball to Olave.
Olave is. I'm very excited. Let's put it that way. I think you're set up to have kind of a consistency from a rookie wide receiver very early in the year. What, double digit targets 2 consecutive weeks?
I believe correct. So.
Yeah, delicious. And his are high value. This ain't no Hollywood Brown 14 for 140.
Yeah, he's going downfield.
But I do think Jameis is pretty necessary for the chuck it and pray philosophy that he enjoys. Myles Garrett, the car accident, shoulder sprain, strained bicep, lacerations. Cleveland has not looked good on defense. They made basically 0 plays, 0 sacks. Interceptions, fumbles in this last week against Pittsburgh until Pittsburgh threw the ball backwards into the end zone on the final play of the game against Jason. Mm-hmm. So Marcus Mariota was Mike's stream yesterday. Cleveland, if they don't have Myles Garrett and they don't get Jadeveon Clowney back, the pressure rates are already terrible. They don't look good. They've had defensive breakdowns in the secondary. Kyle Pitts could take advantage. So I think you avoid this defense this week if Myles Garrett's not out there.
I agree.
Probably even if he is. And then there are some weather concerns with the impact of Hurricane Ian. Tampa Bay is relocating their football operations to Miami-Dade County. No changes to the game yet, but that could happen, which means that you could have a shuffling of game times and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Kyle, you got anything for us?
That's it for now.
Are you wearing a Red Sox cap?
I like socks.
Hmm.
But yeah, it's the Red Sox.
You like the White Sox?
I don't know how far down this rabbit hole to go, Mike, but he's a Braves fan.
My interest is piqued.
And yet you appreciate the Sox logo?
My favorite baseball player is Nomar Garciaparra. Red Sox.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Can we stop this baseball talk?
how does your like fellow Braves fans, how would they appreciate you wearing the Sox cap?
They would not.
He went to Georgia Tech. He's Come on, we could talk baseball, Andy. Oh, keep okay. going, man, if we
All
want
right.
to.
Jason would never allow that.
I'm out of here.
That was today's News and Notes presented by USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance. Jason's favorite baseball player. I don't know if you knew this. Babe Ruth. That Jason's favorite baseball player.
I was wondering who you were going to say that I knew, and I do know him.
You know.
That one time like where he pointed.
That was my favorite of all
the
times.
That was your favorite time.
That's where the home run's going.
Who's your second favorite? It was that one guy?
Mickey Mantle.
All right, quick break, and then we're back with another segment. At some point in time, when we don't have such a jam-packed show and we can focus on baseball, Jason,
yeah.
We should like play a game where Kyle names some pretty famous players and you decide if they were baseball players or not.
I genuinely...
Like, guess the sport of this player.
I started wondering to myself, could I name 20 players?
Yeah.
All time. Historical.
Yeah, you could get to 20.
You think?
Yeah, get to three, though, right now.
No, if you said...
Oh, my God, I got to head start with two. Mickey Mantle, Babe Ruth.
Yeah, get to three.
Randy Johnson.
Okay.
Yeah.
So right, we did it.
But if you said 20 players playing right now...
Oh, that's a definite no.
I would not be able to do
that. I don't know if I can get to 20. We'll find out after the show.
All right, let's move on.
Trending or ending.
All right, these are going to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at players with essentially a few good or bad games in a row, what do we believe their future holds? Let's begin with the one of the more difficult players right now in fantasy football, Austin Eckler. So he is the only running back right now with 20-plus carries that does not have a single gain of 10-plus rushing yards. 28th. In week one at the running back position, that is also not in the top five, in case you were curious where he got drafted versus the 28 finish.
Sure.
Number nine in week two because running back scoring was pathetic.
Yeah, with 13.9 half-point scoring.
And then back to 26 points in week three. They just lost their left tackle, Rashawn Slater. We think they'll get their center back. We don't know for sure. And shockingly, Eckler is not just a case of give him the ball more, right? Like Mike has been making this Ezekiel Elliott case for a while. Like, just give him the ball because when he gets it, he's running for like five or six a
game. Yeah.
But Eckler, it's like
2.5.
Yeah, he's 35th out of 36 qualifying running backs in rushing yards below expectation. There's a reason why you see more Sony Michel out there and Josh Kelly of late. And whether we think that's valid or not, right now, Eckler is not effective. So, you know, Austin Eckler goes to almost effective at this point in time.
No.
And I don't want...
Almost effective.
I don't want...
Brutal.
I don't want to say that because he's a good friend of the show.
He is. But he would. I'm sure he would be the first to admit it.
Yeah, and he, you know, we know the talent, right? We've seen this for longer than this three-game stretch for the whole time he's been in the NFL. So... Trending or ending Austin Eckler's current decline?
I will jump in because I do think that this is a trend that will continue. I think that the high end top, like what you drafted for Austin Eckler, what we all drafted, I don't think is going to happen because the receptions are still there. It's not like everything has just gone poof for Austin Eckler. 4 receptions week 1, 9, 8. Like he's putting up 9 and 8 catches and still, I mean, yeah, we said he finished in the top 10, but he had 8 receptions and finished with under 10 fantasy points and a half point for catching the ball. He finished with under 10 points. It's like if you take the efficiency away on the ground, if you take the goal line opportunities away, this is like third down running back scat back production, but he's not only playing on the third down, but that's all you're getting from him right now.
Wow.
And I think it gets a little bit better as the offensive line can heal up a little bit, but that high end, I do believe that it is gone, especially with the platoon of three running backs, not just two.
The receiving efficiency, which you left out, is also bad.
His yards per
catch. Is currently, of all qualifying running backs, not only last in yards per carry, but also last in yards per completion. He has not looked like he has looked over the last couple of years. In addition to that, so far this season, he has yet to crack 60% snaps in a game. Last year, there were four total games he did not hit that number. Four on the 17-game season. We are in week three, and he has three of them so far. So he's on the field less. He's less efficient in the running game. He's less efficient in the receiving game. And to me, we're going to talk about another player who is very similar in the sense that is highly drafted running back off to a bad start. One of these guys has passed my eyeball test, and one of these guys has worried my eyeball test, and Austin Eckler has worried my eyeball test. He's getting a W right now on the test for worried.
It's like for win?
Well, and I think you guys summarized the case for, you know, trending in this bad direction. I should add some other things you've observed on the field. You would think he'd take advantage of no Keenan Allen for 2.5 games. Hasn't done it. Gerald Everett seems to be involved in the offense. Josh Palmer, larger target share over time. DeAndre Carter getting involved. So Eckler has been, you know, last week, if you don't have garbage time 38-10 Chargers, this is a different story. This is a not even a top 40 running back. So unfortunately, it does seem like Mike's summation of if you don't give him the goal line
toast
and you take away the top end, doesn't mean he's not going to ever score and not do anything. It's just adjusted opinions of him. And then, like, would you go, you know, what tier do you move him for?
Yeah, just real quick, because I don't want to paint the wrong idea. I think that he has lost a step, and he's lost involvement, and he's lost goal line, but that does not mean he's trash for fantasy. This is a guy who, instead of being the running back 3 for fantasy, is probably more going to be like the running back 15 for fantasy, which is fine. That's good if that's what you expect or that's what you're building around. You just can't see this involvement and this efficiency being that level. So now the next step is, so where do you put him? Where does he cycle in? Who would you move him for?
The name that I like the most that I think you can get the trade for is moving Austin Eckler for Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette, his efficiency has been poor. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense has been dreadful, like dreadfully bad. But they're not going to stay that way. You had a game where Mike Evans was suspended. You have Chris Godwin, who's going to be back. It sounds like maybe in 2 weeks or so. But like it's sooner rather than later, and this offense will get going. And
I think you could get that trade done in 99 out of 100 leagues.
Yes, and that's because the work volume is still there for Leonard Fournette. Once the offense turns things around and they start to get clicking, touchdown opportunities are going to go way up for Fournette. Reception opportunities are going to go up. Rest of season rankings, I prefer Big Lenny.
Oh, man.
And I would make that trade if I could get it done.
That's really
dangerous.
Tough because, you know, if I had to bet on which offense turns it around completely, because both the Chargers and the Buccaneers have sputtered for the expectations. And if I said, well, which one definitely is going to be, you know, a top six offense the second half of the season, I would still choose the Chargers over the Buccaneers.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I mean, the vibes in Tampa Bay, Brady's age, the offensive line that isn't coming back. I just have more trust in Herbert and the pieces there than I do in Tampa Bay.
Javonte Williams. Would you rather have Javonte or Austin Eckler?
Oh, gosh.
When you talk about snap percentages you break that down, which guy do you think?
I think I would take the younger
guy.
Like, Javonte has juice, and Austin
Jason
Eckler
is shaking his head because he's you're one of the fantasy community. I mean,
league of record. I have Austin Eckler, and it's been a part of my 1-2 start. Looks great on paper and hasn't been panning out. What about Najee? Would you rather have Najee Harris, another fellow inefficient runner, but he gets everything?
Probably.
He will get the goal line.
I think I would I'd still take Eckler over Najee.
I'd take Najee.
So would you take – I mean, we're talking Eckler, but would you go Najee or Fournette?
I take Fournette.
Okay.
I think you're right about that offense. I think if you're going to buy pieces of Tampa Bay right now, you're going to those are going to pay dividends in a few weeks.
The last name I would throw out there, he's currently injured. I think you could probably get a trade because of the fear of the shoulder. But what about Dalvin Cook?
Oh, you're not getting that done.
You don't think a Dalvin Cook manager who's worried about losing Dalvin Cook this
week? No, go send that offer and see what happens.
Really?
No, I don't think that could get done.
I'll bet in a lot of your leagues you could get Dalvin Cook.
Go ahead. Give that a try because that would be a home run. But if I had Dalvin Cook, I'd spit in your face if you tried to give me Eckler.
And that would be a really kind of reasonable response in a fantasy league.
Well, let's see if I get some spit in my face.
Christian Kirk.
If you get Dalvin right now for Eckler, I'm going to be
on
so
the show.
I will be upset.
Christian Kirk, wide receiver 19, 7, and 13, which puts him at number 6 on the year. 25.5% target share, leads the NFL in slot receiving yards. He never leaves the field, even on two wide receiver sets. It's just been great so far for Christian Kirk. The money invested has translated. Like, this is the case of they spent the money and it translated into
right.
a game plan. And so it doesn't always work that way, Marquez. But Christian Kirk got a big bag. He's delivered on the promise. He keeps getting into the end zone. He's used in the red zone. 3 red zone touchdowns on 7 red zone targets. We don't think Christian Kirk's putting up 17 touchdowns, though. 17, 18 touchdowns.
No.
So, is this a trending situation where you're still buying and trading for Christian Kirk, or is this an ending situation where you're cashing in and seeing if you can turn him into something more special? Like, I don't know, Deebo Samuel.
Oh, man. We'll get to that idea in a second, but just the player Christian Kirk, to me, this is a trend. He was a good wide receiver in Arizona. There's in the past couple years there have been questions like, well, is Kirk really can he be a special player? Is he really that good? And it seemed like for Arizona the answer was no. But now we have more information about Arizona without Christian Kirk, and their offense is bad. Like, it's legit bad. Was Kirk being held back by the environment? Was he being held back by the Cliff Kingsbury offense? I think that might be true. Meanwhile, now over in Jacksonville, what Peterson has brought to the table for the Jags is working. Trevor Lawrence, the panic of Trevor Lawrence after year one, like the first overall pick looked like he was not even close to a starting quarterback. Like, he's supposed to be the future of the quarterback position for a franchise. And he looked like he should be on the bench. He looks infinitely better this year. I mean, shocker. You get Urban Meyer out of there and you get an actual competent offensive mind in, things turn around. And on top of that, like, Zay Jones is a sneaky good wide receiver. Kirk doesn't have to carry the offense as just, well, he's the alpha and no one else on the team is good. No, Zay Jones is sneaky good. Marvin Jones still has ability to make highlight catches every once in a while. So I think that this team is, they're going in the right direction. And with Kirk's involvement, nonstop route running, getting that target share, Trevor Lawrence loves him. He passed a huge test here against the Los Angeles Chargers. He's got another big one against the Philadelphia Eagles. But I think that Christian Kirk is the real deal and is going to be at least a top 20 wide receiver moving forward.
So one thing that stands out from what you said, Mike, is that if he struggles this week against the great Philadelphia secondary, that would be maybe a buy opportunity for Christian Kirk.
Yes.
Because maybe somebody will believe the shoe has dropped. What about Mike Evans? Would you rather have Mike Evans or Christian Kirk rest of the season?
Mike Evans.
Okay.
I don't think so. Right now, Christian Kirk is the wide receiver 6 and half PPR scoring. I don't think he stays there. It's not trending as a top 6 guy, but is he a top 15 wide receiver? Like
T. Higgins.
Give me T. Higgins.
Yeah, I'll go Higgins.
Okay.
I think I've got him behind those top 15
Not ready
guys.
To crown him.
No, but I do think he's consistent. I think that this is really a question of is Trevor Lawrence trending or ending? I think he's trending. So I'm in on Kirk, but I'm in on Kirk as a wide receiver too. I don't think his upside is that. Could this guy be a top six fantasy wide receiver at the end of the season? Whereas all those other guys, the T. Higgins, Mike Evans, those type of players, they still have, I think, a higher ceiling than just being an awesome wide receiver too.
I think he could end up in the top 10 at the end of the year, but it won't be with the kinds of plays you're talking about from Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson. It will be with like a double-digit floor of just 10 consistent points every week just because, you know, this is not a prolific defense. He's too integral. He's on the field all the time.
Yeah.
Looking at the schedule volume here, the tough test against Philadelphia, but then it's Houston, Indianapolis, the Giants. Like, I mean, if he does struggle this weekend, I would be in there in a minute trying to trade for him.
Deebo Samuel, I brought him up a minute ago.
Oh, man.
Christian Kirk or Deebo Samuel?
Deebo.
Okay, that's my answer too.
Yeah, I'll still However, go with Deebo, but that's...
We're going to do trending or ending with Deebo right now because he is... he never had three mediocre games in a row last year when he was the number two overall fantasy wide receiver. He's at 27 right now. 29, 25, 38. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
10.4 points last week was 38 at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, a bunch of people clumped together.
I mean, he's been double digits for three straight weeks. He just hasn't had those touchdowns that we had last year.
That's what I was going to bring up. Deebo has not been bad at all. I mean, you want more than 10 half PPR points in a game, especially from someone you drafted highly. But it's kind of like Christian McCaffrey right now. You're wanting these 30-point games. You're wanting these giant blow-up games, and you feel like Christian McCaffrey's been bad because you drafted him number one or number two. He has not been bad.
No,
he's been solid. Yes. He just hasn't been spectacular. That's the same with Deebo. If someone is down on Deebo and they feel like, man, this isn't what I was hoping I was drafting, I think that their expectations are out of whack. For someone who has yet to, you know, have fewer than 10 fantasy points in a week and still has blow-up potential. Plus, Jimmy Garoppolo, obviously they had tumult at the quarterback position. And, yeah, he was the quarterback last year, and they should be able to just, you know, snap their fingers, we believe, and change the system back, and everything's hunky-dory. But they haven't been practicing with him. They didn't have time with him. I think it gets better, not worse, as Jimmy G continues to play and the season goes on. And, obviously, everything Deebo did last year was with Jimmy G. So I am not... I would say ending with Deebo Samuel in the sense that people think the trend is he's been bad.
Deebo or Amon-Ra rest of the season?
Oh, Amon-Ra.
Oh, that one's not fair. Yeah, I think it's got to be Amon-Ra. Amon-Ra.
I'll take Deebo. I'll take Deebo there.
Okay, we brought his name up. Are we believers that Amon-Ra has ascended to a top 10 wide receiver?
Yes.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah, but I think Debo's better.
Fair. They're both top 10.
And I do think, I mean, look, we all like Elijah Moore, but when Jameson Williams does return, I don't care if it's week 4, 8, whatever, the long-term view of Amon-Ra is going to take a small adjustment when you have a physical freak that's a top 12 pick in the NFL draft. So it doesn't mean that he's a perennial top 10. I don't think so. This year, certainly in the range of outcomes, yeah. That's where I'm at.
Sure. But,
all right, let's move on.
Thursday Night Breakdown.
The Miami Dolphins at 3-0 take on the Cincinnati Bengals at 1-2. Shout out to Rich Eisen, friend of the show, who brought up the incredible irony right now that, I mean, I don't know if you guys have realized this, but the two undefeated teams in the NFL right now are the Miami Dolphins and the Philadelphia Eagles.
Huh, what did they do?
And these are the two teams that their quarterbacks played for the same roster. Jalen Hurts benched at halftime. Tua comes in at halftime, wins the national championship, and so then Jalen Hurts transfers and the rest is history. But it's just this idea that if they could somehow face each other in the Super Bowl, if you could have these two that shared a quarterback room in Alabama face off against one another, the validation of both, right? Both needed it. Both needed validation at the NFL level to have believers or, you know, it's for people to believe in both of these guys. Nobody's believed in either of them, really. They are now. So, and both got a prolific wide receiver in the offseason.
That's where I was going to go. The quarterbacks deserve a ton of praise for what they've done, but it is, the NFL is a passing league. Add a true number one to your team, and things just get better. I mean, we're on a very hot streak of this. Stephon Diggs goes to Buffalo. Josh Allen, yes, he put in the work and he became better, but I'm saying, like, those things happened at the exact same time for a reason.
DeAndre Hopkins, yes. With and without DeAndre Hopkins, Kyler has been great and decent.
Drafting, yes, of Ja'Marr Chase in Cincinnati.
Yep.
Which is, I mean, it's not a trade, but it's the same story. Prolific pass catcher.
Yeah. The get number one wide receivers.
That being said, I'm pretty sure, I've not vetted this. Kyle, you can vet this, but I'm pretty sure that Kansas City and Green Bay, the two teams that let them go, right, are probably higher Super Bowl favorites than the Dolphins and
they may be, but one of those teams just got embarrassed by the Indianapolis Colts.
Well, and it's fair to say that, you know, who'd you rather start in fantasy?
Oh, sure.
You want to start Jalen Hurts, you want to start Patrick Mahomes? You want to start Jalen Hurts, you want to start Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah. Well, it's Jalen Hurts for me.
I think it's Jalen Hurts to go over both of those players right now.
Here's an interesting thing with the Dolphins and the Bengals. We have to remember that these are human beings who have emotional highs and lows. They are coming off of an unbelievably emotional victory that they really should not have won just on paper. They got outgained, outtouched, the time of possession, everything. But they come away with a divisional win. They are coming off of that high, and then with the weather going on and everything in the Miami area, they had to travel early. So they've got a quarterback who they're not sure if he can play with the back problem in Tua, coming off of this victory, traveling early to Cincinnati to make sure that they can play tomorrow night. No, very little practice. This just seems like a... Like, I love the Dolphins going forward. I don't want to take anything away from the Dolphins, but if they have a bad outing, I'm not going to be surprised in this matchup.
The DraftKings Sportsbook line is Cincinnati -4. The over-under is 47. I have Cincinnati winning this game.
I do as well.
We did our picks this morning. Some of the reasons you just illustrated. And Miami, look, they had to come back from 20. They had to have a 28-3 fourth quarter to beat Baltimore. They survived butt punt against Buffalo.
The butt punt is not getting nearly enough media coverage.
The butt punt would be overwhelming the media if they had lost the game at the end and Josh Allen had been able to make that throw on fourth down. But the butt punt was spectacular.
I mean, that guy got his butt kicked.
By a ball.
With a ball.
Like, yeah.
Have we seen that before?
A butt punt? Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
Not a butt punt of such consequence.
Right. Yeah. It was a butt punt into a safety, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
Because it went right off that dude's derriere.
Right.
Out of the
over the derriere. Yeah. It was not good. So Miami at 3-0 take on the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, last week, I wouldn't say that I was really impressed with Cincinnati. They certainly took care of business against the Jets. You saw Tyler Boyd have one of his big games. T. Higgins knocked out for a brief amount of time. But when you have elite weapons, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Joe Mixon, you just kind of have bullets in the gun at all times. And so from a fantasy perspective, you know, the Dolphins this year, they had to have a 28-3 comeback in the fourth because they were giving up a lot of points to Lamar and company. Cincinnati at home, I'm not intimidated to play any of these players, including Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I would agree. I think Joe Burrow is a good play this week. They're at home in a very publicized matchup. I think all of these studs, and I would include Joe Burrow in that conversation, are in your lineup from the Cincinnati side. I would not chase Tyler Boyd's big production. If you didn't see the play, he had a nice, kind of a deep catch across the middle, and the Jets thought, let's try to tackle him without arms, and they just They just ran into him, and he bounced off, and then he ran in for a touchdown. So I would not chase that, but the other three guys, certainly.
So you wouldn't chase Boyd. You would chase...
Jamar.
And you would you chase Chase?
Yeah.
Edmonds, two touchdowns with nothing else last week.
I would chase a trade of Chase Edmonds to somebody else's team. I would be trying to cash in on those two touchdowns real quick because you're running out of time.
Would you trade Chase for Devin Singletary?
Oh, that is an interesting question.
Because I think you could get that one accepted.
Yeah, I think I
bet on the volume actually returning.
Yeah, it's tough because Devin Singletary's volume could go away, but right now Chase Edmonds' volume is away. So
yes.
Go ahead and take the better offense. I think that's a really fair trade you could get done that will probably give you a more solid baseline.
Chase Edmonds, just to highlight what happened here against Buffalo, a 5% target share, which week one he had 13%, 40% of the running back attempts.
Yeah, I mean, snaps, utilization.
44% of the snaps. Everything has gone down every single week.
Snaps, utilization in the passing game, utilization in the running game. All three were slightly ahead. It wasn't
slightly higher running back attempts this week.
It wasn't that Mostert dominated and Chase Edmonds was just an afterthought. They're like 55-45, and that's just not what we need for fantasy. We need one of these guys to be the clear guy in the lead. And so in the meantime, I don't think you can really chase either Dolphins running back. I certainly would be trying to capitalize on the trade or holding Chase Edmonds because and we don't ever wish this into existence, but the older Raheem Mostert with the incredible plethora of missing games, I would imagine at some point this season that's going to happen. And in that situation, we have seen good utilization for Chase Edmonds.
It's funny how the utilization going down for Chase doesn't translate to a recommendation to go trade for Raheem Mostert.
Because his is not like way up.
Yeah, he's not dominating the touches. He's just slightly ahead.
Tyreek, Jalen Waddle, go ahead.
It was 10 opportunities.
No, I know.
For Mostert.
I'm not making the case that you should be.
Yeah.
I'm saying it's just an interesting situation where it almost feels like the pie's getting smaller with the lack of utilization with Chase.
They put it in the dryer.
too long in the dryer. You got to bring it out when it's still a little damp.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's going to shrink.
Could you warm food up in a dryer?
Of course
you
could.
Yeah, you could. It gets hot in there.
If you had like something that could be stable on and not going around and around.
Yeah, you just
like
put
a gyro.
The shoe rack.
Yeah, if you put a shoe rack in a dryer, you could dry a pie in there. Yeah.
The shoe rack. What does the shoe rack do?
There's a lot of dryers have like a little table that you could put in there to specifically dry shoes.
So your shoes don't go clickety clunk.
Could you fit a full? Can you put a full pie in there?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you can put a pie. I'm going to try to heat a pie in my dryer.
I don't know how long it would take. How hot does a dryer get?
Really?
What'd you say
hot,
there, Jay?
Man.
I'm going to try to heat a pie in your dryer?
Yeah.
All right.
This is how Jason burns his house down.
But it's going to smell delicious.
Oh, my gosh. No, the firemen will be appreciative of the aroma.
Like, was that blueberry?
Sir, you have won the award for the first and only time I've ever seen someone burn their house by heating a pie in the dryer.
Well, we can talk.
Most dryers can get around 125 to 135.
You're just talking
Fahrenheit.
About a heat up. We're not cooking the pie.
Yeah.
No, you're not cooking. I'm not putting dough in there.
Because, you know, the microwave, heating up in the microwave is just never the same as, like, if you get the
it's
oven hot. If you get the oven hot, that's a better situation.
Now, based on that temperature, I feel like I could make some good jerky in there.
Oh.
At 125?
The drips would be a problem. But.
Yeah. Well, you can work it out.
Yeah, we'll figure this out.
Nobody's ever really mixed laundry and food the way that you seem to want to.
I kind of mix everything with food.
All right, last topic. That was all just better topic to talk about than sitting Tyreek or Jalen Waddle. You play them both.
Yes.
Tua, though, final conversation here. Tua Tagovailoa, 9-1 over his last 10 starts. He's got the highest completion percentage of 15-plus yard pass plays in the NFL, according to a friend of the show, J.J. Zachariasen.
Zachariasen.
What did I say?
Zachariasen.
You give him the Raya.
Well,
he gets that. It happens.
Tua or
used to be a friend of the show.
Sorry. Goodness gracious. Spell your name better. Tua or Kyler at Carolina?
if I've got Kyler, I don't love the matchup, and I'm not like banging Kyler. But if I have a good enough quarterback like that, I'm going to take the injury risk out, and I'll play Kyler.
I'm with you. Same with, believe it or not, even Russ against Las Vegas. I'm not going to mess with the back of Tua, and the fact that I could. There would be nothing worse than starting your week Thursday night, Tua, one quarter of football, and Teddy Bridgewater's on the field.
And while the Bengals haven't played a who's who so far, obviously they played Dallas week one. That was a pretty good matchup, and their defense looked great. Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle can take any ball to the house on any team. So you could certainly have Tua have a decent game, but this isn't a great matchup. The Bengals defense is solid, so the combination of being Thursday night with the bad back, with a bad matchup, I would look elsewhere if you can.
Tua or stream Jared Goff?
Goff is at home against Seattle.
We don't know the status of Amon-Ra right now, so you'd have to make that decision before knowing.
I would go Tua because of Amon-Ra and Swift. I was really I liked the matchup for Goff, but not knowing the health of the other pieces in Detroit, I'd go to it.
Papa Josh, are you on the microphone today?
Yes, sir.
You ever cooked a pie in a dryer?
No.
I mean, who amongst us?
Who amongst us hasn't
at least thought about it?
Inquired of such things.
Desperate times, man.
I think that the one time I would consider it is if the oven is, like, occupied.
Right.
And you really need, it's a quick.
It's really like to warm some bread or something. But a pie is delicious.
What's
so
more embarrassing,
would
Bert?
It become a pyre?
Would the dryer? Oh, the dryer would become a pyre?
That's just what I use to eat my pies.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Thanks.
But what's more embarrassing? Burning your house down because you tried to use your dryer to heat up a pie.
Okay.
Or serving cold pie.
Yeah, that's obvious.
Right. Ooh. Right.
There is some good cold pie, though.
It's probably time to sign off. All right, that is it for the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. All the rankings, the start sit tool, all the premium tools from jointhefoot.com. You can find them on the website, thefantasyfootballers.com. Talk to you later.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com. And follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.